Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Nicht uns, O Gott, nicht uns, sondern deinem Namen gib Ehre, um deiner Gnade und Treue willen. Non pas à nous, Éternel, non pas à nous, mais à ton nom donne gloire, à cause de ta bonté, à cause de ta vérité. Welcome to this audio service from the Swiss Church in London. I am Reverend Carla Maurer, and I have the pleasure today to particularly welcome the Reverend Jerry Stanton from Union Church in Crouchend. It is a pleasure also to welcome members from the Union Church congregation listening in today. Although we are apart and worshipping individually in our living rooms, we are connected through the Holy Spirit, disciples of Christ, and God is with each one of us. Jerry and I will talk about the sisters Mary and Martha today, who reacted very differently when Jesus came to their house. One of them got frantically busy. The other sat to Jesus' feet, listening to his words. And their opposite reactions were not without conflict. There are parallels between this story from the Gospel of Luke and our reaction to the lockdown. And Jerry and I will look back and think how we reacted to the unusual circumstances. In this service, you will also be invited to share communion. If you wish to participate, please have a bit of bread or a cracker and a glass of wine, juice or water ready. You will find the words for the hymns and for the communion prayer on the Swiss Church webpage. And I would also like to thank Peter, Marianne, Colin and Niccolo for participating in today's audio service. Marianne will lead us now in prayer.
We pray, Father, our Lord and everything, we thank you, you are steadfast, the same yesterday, today and tomorrow. Whatever is happening in the world, you are the Alpha and Omega. We worship you and praise your name. We do miss not being a church, yet recognize this is for our protection and well-being. This does not stop us having this longing to be in and with our community. We ask for you to comfort us and fill that longing in us. Fill us with your presence. We pray we can focus on you during this service and not get distracted by things around us, whatever they are. Still our hearts. We want to sit at your feet, spend time with you and learn more, get to know you better and feel closer to you. May Carla's and Reverend Cherry's words guide us and enlighten us. Through their knowledge and teaching, we pray, we leave the service different to the way we started it, full of hope and confidence in you. We pray in your precious name. Amen.
I now invite you to join in with the first hymn, Für die Heilung aller Völker. You can find the hymn sheet on the Swiss Church webpage.
Thank you.
The reading is based on Psalm 133 and 134 by Leslie F. Brandt. O God, how precious it is for us, and how pleasing it must be to you when your children and servants learn how to live and work together in unity. It is in the measure that we do this that we begin to resemble you and to carry out more effectively your purposes in our disjointed and discordant world. Come, let us bless his name together. Rejoice in his loving concern for us. Declare his worth to all creatures and walk in obedience to his will. The same God made heaven and earth and all of us who dwell here. Let us worship and serve him together. Amen. I now invite you to join in with the second hymn, Bénissons Dieu, notre Roi.
At the home of Martha and Mary, from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, reading from verse 38 to verse 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman called Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset by many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her."
Dear parishioners, dear listeners, when Jesus visited the house of sisters Mary and Martha, Mary sat by Jesus' feet and listened. Martha, however, was distracted by all the preparations that had to be done. Martha got annoyed by Mary's reaction and asked Jesus to tell her off for not helping. The story of Mary and Martha, the two sisters who reacted so differently to Jesus' coming, is well known and often discussed in Bible groups. Are you more like Mary, contemplating, listening? Or are you more like Martha, busy preparing things? Or are you a bit of both? Do you even have the choice? Or do you feel forced into acting in a certain way? Jerry Stanton and I decided to talk about the story of Martha and Mary because we experienced the lockdown as some sort of real-life Mary-Martha test. Suddenly, our churches were closed. The contact with our congregation no longer possible. And we sat there in our vicarages, wondering what next. We also saw how churches around the world kicked into action. We observed how we kicked into action too, trying new things, sometimes wondering whether we are doing the right things, wondering what God calls us to do now. At times, confused, tired, or exhausted for no seeming reason. So, Jerry, Martha, or Mary?
I want to say Mary. It feels like the answer a minister should give is that contemplative sitting at the feet of Jesus, receiving every word. But I think the truth is probably more like Martha, and not in the sense of always being busy and being helpful, but being distracted and doing things that either I think need doing or I think other people think need doing. And that's my normal way of being, there's that tension between the two. And as you said, at this time with all of the lockdown and all of the corona stuff, it's really highlighted that for me. We've talked before about sometimes you see churches that are really, you know, ministers that I'm really kind of in awe of, and they're really busy and they've got all the Zoom and the Facebook and the YouTube. And there's part of me thinking, well, I should be doing that, or we should be doing that as a church. And then I look at the people who are in my church and they don't have access to the technology. Probably maybe half of them might be able to just about cope with the Zoom, but then it would mean losing out the other half. So that I find that really difficult at the moment, just trying to balance those two things.
And you have, I had that feeling when the lockdown started that I had to do something.
Oh.
Did you have that?
Yeah. I think at the beginning, well, in some ways there was stuff to do at the beginning because you had to communicate the shutdown, decide what was going to happen with any staff that we had, make sure people were able to get support from friends, family, neighbours, you know, they could get food and stuff. So there was stuff to do at the beginning, but it was still strange. There's such a routine, you know, the whole routine of life was thrown out for everyone. And again, a bit like the Mary Martha thing, I don't think of myself as someone who particularly likes fixed routines, but then I realised I do. They're just not incredibly rigid.
So maybe it had to do with that as well, that we, like, maybe kicking into action has also something to do with finding a new routine.
Yeah.
And that just, I don't know, taking the days as they are in all their emptiness and not knowing and that, maybe that's just something that is very unusual and difficult to go with. And it's perhaps I never know, Mary Martha, so the Martha way of preparing things, doing things, trying to create work for yourself, is perhaps the easier way?
I think so. I think modern life is geared up around that, and for better or for worse, our churches reflect that. What I find interesting is whenever I've heard this preached, I think every time I've heard it preached, it's always be like Mary and don't be like Martha. But as actually my wife points out, Martha's preparing the food and the drink. He still eats and drinks. You know, there is still the need to do that stuff. And if we're all sitting around contemplating, then nothing would ever get done. And I guess that again, that was really shown up in this time, where it'd be, I have been able to pray more and, if you like, contemplate more. But there is still stuff to be done. And what I'm finding now, as we come, you know, we're being told that maybe we can reopen churches, but that actually isn't as straightforward as we think. Again, there's a tendency, I can feel the tension in me to want to be busy again, to want to be doing stuff again. But that could easily be the wrong thing. You know, if we reopen badly or at the wrong time, then we're putting people at risk, and it seems to be the opposite of what church is supposed to be about.
And what the church congregations feel comfortable with, or what they really want, is also to find out that, I think.
Yeah, it is. And there's a tension there between people want to come back, they want to worship in the church building again, they want to see their friends again. But there's a risk with that, and what I'm finding is for some people, and I understand it, but for some of our older people, they don't see the risk so much, even though they're more vulnerable, because they've been through other things, because, you know, they're more lonely perhaps when with this. So it's really difficult, and particularly today I'm finding that hard with the thought of, I'm to say to people, actually no, it's, even though government is saying this, we're going to be a while longer before we can meet again properly.
I remember there was once a point a few weeks ago when the dentists could open again, and then I think only 50% or something like that of dentists practices opened, and I thought, hang on, why are they not ready? Because they had now like, well, 2 or 3 months to get ready. How come they're not ready for this? And now we're in this situation, and I found myself not being ready. So sorry to all the dentists out there, because that wasn't fair to think. It's like you kind of know it's coming, but then you don't know how it will feel maybe when it comes, and when you can actually open again, and I find as well that it's really interesting when we went into the lockdown. You're right, at first it was quite a busy time, you had to sort out things, and then came that time where we maybe all had to embrace that space in a way, or those days in a different way. And for me personally, I decided quite early not to go into overdrive. Do a few things, do them well, and try not to get too impressed by what other churches do. Because if you look at social media, if you look what other churches do, I mean, you just think, oh no, I mean, I should spend so much, I could do this, I could do a midnight prayer every day, I could do Zoom prayers every evening, I could do so much more. And then I just said, no, I don't, because I think it's actually a really good opportunity to contemplate more, to go more into prayer as a vicar, because that's the time we don't usually have. And it's such a precious time, and it's a few months, and you do a few things good, or the things that you can do well for your congregation, and the rest of the time just look after yourself spiritually and after your own well-being, because you need that in the long term. It's really a precious time.
Yeah, I think it is a precious time. And I think as ministers, we're very privileged generally, but especially at a time of this where we're not having to worry about paying our mortgages, we're not having to worry about being furloughed, or at least the vast majority of us. And most of us will have jobs to go back to, though not necessarily all. So we don't have a lot of the pressures that a lot of people are having. So we do have that. Plus, I don't know about you, Carla, but when we started this, the idea as a minister is to be set apart to pray, to read the scriptures, to teach, to pastor a flock. But so often that gets, as soon as your buildings get involved, you end up having to sort out various building things. There's always something else to do. And some of those really important things can get lost. And if we're not close to God, then we're not really serving our congregation properly. You know, I think that's what people expect of me. So this has given me that chance, to get a definitely much better prayer discipline, feeling closer to God in that. And
so more Mary than Martha during the lockdown, in a way.
Yeah, I think it has
or
been.
Or more Mary than usual.
More Mary than usual. And more Mary than usual, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, Baptists are known as being activists. And I'm still part of that. So there's the contemplation, but it's there to sort of prepare me for action. You know, I've thought about it, but I couldn't be a monk. Because it is, and no criticism, just for me, it's all the contemplation, it's all of that community life stuff. And for me, there needs to be some activity. There needs to be something that comes out of the contemplation.
Yeah, now we see on the other end, we are kind of coming out of the lockdown, for now, who knows what's going to happen. But I feel it's in a way more difficult because going into the lockdown, yes, it was a huge shake up to all our lives, but it was very clear, stay at home, stay put, don't do anything, don't go out. And now it's just so unclear what's going to happen, whether a second wave is going to come, how is the whole social distancing, how does it work, how close or not close, how many people should I see, where, you know, what can I do, what do I want to do? It's just for the our congregation, for us in our personal lives,
yeah,
it's so much more complex. And also you don't know how long it's going to last, whether there's going to be another lockdown or...
Yeah.
I find it much more challenging than going into the lockdown. I'm kind of more anxious about coming out of it.
Definitely, and I think a lot of people will be. And you know, pubs open this weekend, or at least some of them do. Today, a friend invited me to a lower league football club having their celebration on Saturday at the ground. I'm like, no, I'm not going to. You know, even though I'd quite like to, because. Yeah, it's that big kind of slightly scary cloud that's around us. And I don't want to be scared. And one of the things I find really difficult with this is when you do go out, we're avoiding one another now. And that's not very nice. And it's not because it's not a personal thing. But, you know, crossing the street to avoid people or stepping out into the street, giving people funny looks if they're not wearing a face mask or if they are wearing the wrong face mask or all of this stuff. There's some real
that's what we're facing now.
Stuff
yeah,
ahead,
and
you know.
Everyone is facing that now, that finding that balance and coping with that new way of meeting or
I think that deep sea divers helmet you've got on for this recording, Carla, is really effective at keeping the virus on.
Jerry, do you have maybe for both our congregation, Union Church and the Swiss Church in London, just a few final words or a blessing or a prayer or an encouragement?
I think the encouragement is what a friend has been saying to me from the beginning of this, is God saw this coming. Not in any way caused it, but saw it coming and is with us through it. And be with us on the other side. And there's great opportunities for us to serve our neighbour and to love our neighbour. And we want to be open to that. And there are great opportunities, which I think you've already found, to when we're not in the buildings as well, which there's always hope. And you know, we're in a good place, the Swiss Church, Union Church, to be able to help people and to help ourselves. Thank you.
Amen to that.
Amen to that.
And we are very grateful for all the donations you have made in the past weeks to help us managing the financial impact of the coronavirus crisis. If you would like to make a donation, you can find the payment options for that online. Many thanks for everything you can give.
Let us pray. As Mary said the word, so we pray for all those who seek and spread the word. We remember the Universal Church and all her members and ministers, all who strive to promote the truth in all domains, all teachers, and all who remind us that we do not live by bread alone. Kyrie eleison. As Martha worked incessantly, so we pray for all who work without ceasing. We recognize endeavors of those who fight for peace and dignity for everyone in the world. Leaders of all nations, scientists and medical staff, farmers, harvest pickers and food producers, cleaners, haulers and carers. Kyrie eleison. We pray for all who are troubled and feel far from both Martha and Mary. We remember all who are affected by loneliness, homelessness, unemployment, abuse, persecution, starvation, war, and illness of any kind. We think especially of Jerry's father and family, and all those whom we name now. Kyrie eleison.
I now invite you to join in with the third hymn, Alleluia, Sing to Jesus. I would like everyone listening at home or reading this service to join in with the sharing of communion. If you don't have any wine or juice in the house, take some water or any kind of juice you have. Pour it in your favorite mug or glass. Take a piece of bread or a cracker or some cake and put it next to your glass on a plate. Together, we will bless the wine and the bread, and we will share communion as a sign that the grace of God becomes alive through us. As I will speak the words that Jesus has spoken to the disciples when they shared the meal, you may hold up your glass to give thanks, break the bread, and hold the palms of your hands over the wine and bread for the blessing, just as you see me doing at church. Take your time to get ready, or pause the audio service if you wish. With the symbols of wine and bread in front of us, let us begin. Heureux les invités au repas du Seigneur. En partageant le vin et le pain, nous nous souvenons que nous sommes une communauté fondée sur la foi, que l'amour et l'espoir grandissent si on les partage. Wir sind alle eingeladen an Gottes Tisch. Frauen und Männer, jung und alt, reich und arm, leichtherzige und schwermütige. Brot und Wein bringen uns in Berührung mit dem, was unaussprechbar ist, und mit dem heilsamen Wirken der göttlichen Gnade. I invite you to pray and to answer with the words, and we offer them to you. God of life, who loves and embraces us in mercy and acceptance, we recognize those places in our lives where we have been hurt and rejected, and we offer them to you. We recognize those times when we have hurt and rejected others, and we offer them to you. And we recognize the ways that we have failed to believe in your forgiving power. Help us to live in the strength that comes from your never-ending love. Amen. And in a moment of silence, let us think of the times when we have been hurt and of the times when we have hurt others. In der Nacht, als Jesus verraten wurde, saß er mit seinen Freunden und Freundinnen und teilte das Mahl. Er nahm das Brot, dankte dafür, brach es, gab es seinen Jüngern und Jüngerinnen und sprach: Nehmt, esst, das bin ich, für euch gegeben. Dann nahm er den Kelch, dankte, gab ihn seinen Jüngern und Jüngerinnen und sprach: Nehmt, trinkt alle daraus. Das ist das Zeichen für den neuen Bund mit Gott. Tut dies zu meinem Gedächtnis, so oft ihr zusammen seid. Let us bless the bread and the wine. Gott, segne diese deine Gaben, Brot und Wein, Früchte deiner Erde und unserer Arbeit, die uns tragen von Generation zu Generation. Que le Saint-Esprit soit présent maintenant que nous partageons le vin et le pain. Par cette communion, tu renouvelles nos forces. And if you live with other people, you may now share a sign of peace. Peace be with you. Ich wünsche dir Friede. Shalom. I invite you now to take your piece of bread or your cracker or your cake. And after that, the cup with the wine or juice or water. And together, we now eat the bread and we drink the wine, symbol of the presence of Jesus. Together we pray as Jesus Christ has taught us. Unser Vater im Himmel, geheiligt werde dein Name, dein Reich komme, dein Wille geschehe, wie im Himmel, so auf Erden. Unser tägliches Brot gib uns heute und vergib uns unsere Schuld, wie auch wir vergeben unseren Schuldigern. Und führe uns nicht in Versuchung, sondern erlöse uns von dem Bösen. Denn dein ist das Reich und die Kraft und die Herrlichkeit in Ewigkeit. Amen. Gott segne und behüte dich. Gott lasse sein Angesicht leuchten über dir und sei dir gnädig. Gott hebe sein Angesicht auf dich und gebe dir seinen Frieden. Que Dieu te bénisse et te protège. Que Dieu fasse briller sur toi son visage qui se penche vers toi. Que Dieu tourne vers toi son visage, qu'il t'apporte la paix. God bless you and keep you. God make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. God lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. I wish you all a wonderful Sunday. Go in peace and bring peace to the world. Gönnt in Friede und bringet de Friede in die Welt. Amen.